Let's bow our heads now and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the people that we have here, the friends, and for your message for us, your spiritual message, your health message, and make us to understand more about our bodies and our minds, to help other people, to help our relatives, to help our friends, to help the community. Make us to be inspired by you with your Holy Spirit and have the power to make the change necessary for us to have a better life. And then we can share. We ask your presence now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for being here, and thank you for those that are still in the program. I think the other guys are going to come a little later. But anyways, let's go for the cancer prevention. We started yesterday in general talk about what are the screening, and then today we will focus mostly on the factors that we know about cancer. So after we finish this, we will start with the cancers individual. I believe we are going to start with lung cancer. I expect to finish lung cancer today also. And then this is the most important lecture. So if you have to miss anything, should be today. No, shouldn't be today. But this is the more important, because this is when we talk about the factors that are causing cancer. And then there is one more important lecture that is the last one, because in the last one we will wrap it up and we'll talk about some other things like cell phone and microwave, if this is causing cancer or not, and what is the pros and cons. And then we will talk about the Adventist Health Study, what we have in the Adventist Health Study, the first one, in the Adventist Health Study, the second one, and then the Adventist Study 2, that is, the third one. And then we will explain see some statistics in terms of cancer too, and other diseases. So that last lecture is going to happen Friday, and that one you should not miss. So if you are missing something, but you have the opportunity to get the CDs, and then you have everything there. And I just heard that they are going to record that in Audioverse. I don't know if you are recording for someone or for yourself. Yes, just for you. Yeah, I want it. So you please, at least for me, you should. We should make arrangements that to have it. But the Audioverse is over here, so at least you can listen to the program if you go to audioverse.com or audioverse.org or something like. Shouldn't matter. Oh, this is advanced source. .org, audioverse.org. Okay. That's the introduction here. So we should not tell people about that, but it's very important for us that what we eat might constitute our blood and our cells and our. So I don't do this presentation in the church. I don't present this slide in the church, but I'm a little more open to show this. And the reason for that is that we have to be careful to not offend people. And then we put people off when we start making jokes about their diet, and because we are better. So that's not the right position. But as we are talking about cancer prevention, we will know that diet is one of the most important things. I like to use this. This is kind of old. They didn't renew that yet. This is about 1997, 1996 that they did the first one. And they kept, if you go to their site, to Harvard Report site from the Harvard School of Medicine, they still have this one there. So I'm okay to use that. But this is a traditional report on cancer prevention that put the two main factors in terms of cancer prevention, that is smoking and diet. So those are the most important factors that are responsible for maybe two-thirds of the cancers that we have around. And in the beginning, we talked that was just lack of fruits and vegetables or the presence of meat. But now we have this whole thing about obesity that is related to a series of cancers. And so we will talk about that. So what we are going to do today, we are going to cover all of this with focus on the ones that are not bold here. So the ones that are bold, we will cover them, but those are mostly the ones that we cannot change. Occupational, maybe you can. But family history is hard. Perinatal factors, maybe. Reproduction, economic situation, environmental pollution. So sometimes people cannot go on that. And medical procedures also is a little hard. So the main one, smoking. Here is the list that we are going to cover now. But the main one is smoking, tobacco. I don't know who invented this idea that we should smoke something, but it came from, I think the original, I would say, when we saw fire for the first time, we get fascinated by that. And I wish in the Bible they say, they tell us something, what Adam and Eve, when they saw fire, what was that? And because I believe before sinning there was no fire. I believe. I might be wrong. And fire was something that came after the sin. But anyways, we see in all the ancient natives in the world cultures that they have fire. They are fascinated by fire. Either they make sacrifice or they use pipes to the peace, pipes of peace or something like that. And that may be one reason that people smoke. The first time that we heard something about smoking that might be carcinogenic was in 1604, when this king in England mentioned that a counter blast of tobacco smoking is a custom loathsome to the eye, hateful to the nose, harmful to the brain, dangerous to the lungs, and in the black stinking fume thereof, nearest resembling the horrible Stygian smoke of the pit that is bottomless. If you are in the literature, you can help me with that. I don't know what is the Stygian smoke here. Anybody knows? I tried to get this information, but I'm still lost on that. But it looks like it's something that is smoking like in a dumping or something like that. And anybody know? No? Okay, let's Google it. Cancer is related to this, smoking is related to these main cancers. You see that it's not just the respiratory cancer. It goes beyond that. It goes to the stomach. It goes to circulation. The poisonous in smoking, and they reached organs like the bladder and the kidneys and even the cervix, uterus cervix. And then produce leukemia, and then are related to all of these types of cancer. So it's a poison, is a real poison. Animals naturally do not smoke. The idea to inhale more smoke is not usual for them. So these pictures are just for kidding, because nobody has ever seen these animals smoking. And with rare exceptions, I believe one time they made a bat to smoke, and looks like the bat will smoke. I never heard that. I never see that, but I heard. But it's necessary to have intelligence to smoke. Isn't that amazing that we have to have a brain? Because if you smoke the first time, you will reject that. You will cough, you will sneeze. It's not that. So you have to pass that phase, and then... and then you start smoking. So you have to have a brain, and a good brain. When I pass this, people say, oh no, Einstein would not smoke. I mean, he is wise enough to know better. But sometimes it's not. You will see that nicotine is so addictive that nicotine is considered today at the same level of cocaine and heroin. So just for you to have an idea. It's just because it's legal, but in terms of addictiveness, is in the same place. I mean, the doctors in the house know how hard it is to quit heroin. Cocaine you can pass by, but heroin is something that traditionally, we say that there is no cure for that. We exchange with methadone, and they can live by with methadone. This is an official addiction. Mostly, that's what happens. So, you see that the nicotine is a substance that is very, very, very addictive. And I used to tell this experience that the researchers did with pigs. They put pigs in a circle, and then put an electrical fence surrounding that circle. The pigs will go and they will touch that fence and they will never go there anymore. Never. They took the fence, the electrical fence off, and the pigs would not go over that part. But human beings, they get those things and they want more and more and more, and they learn to pass the pain, and then they want to have these more and more. So what is that about our intelligence? I mean, intelligence and wiseness, so wisdom. Well, this is human beings. So let's talk a little bit about what we have in cigarette smoking. According to Hoffman, he wrote an article analyzing what is that they have. So they have carbon monoxide, ammonia, nitrogen oxide that causes inflammation in the lungs, hydrogen cyanide that's supposed to be a poison here that kills the cilia in the lungs, hydrogen sulfide that produces irritation in the respiratory tract, acrolein that is also cilia toxin, methanol that we use that in Brazil as a fuel for cars, tox upon inhalation and ingestion. We have also pyridine, nicotine, phenol, catechol, aniline, acrolein. Well, we have a lot of people. But these are the substances, one of them, that in animals are producing mutagenic effects or carcinogenic in labs. You see, here we have nicotine that is the main addictive factor in cigarette smoking. And also might affect endocrine systems. And there is one research that nicotine might be cancer producing also. So the idea that we can pass by just smoking an e-cigarette that does not have much of those carcinogenics here, but just have nicotine, might not be the best one, because you will still have something that can produce cancer. Well, we mentioned yesterday that smoking contains 4,800 compounds. And then they have these additives that the companies are putting in smoking, 599, and it's depends on the brand of cigarette, they will use some or other of these 599. Before we go there, there is 69 carcinogens in smoking. 11 human carcinogens proven to cause cancer in men. And then 7 probable that they call cancer. And 49 animal carcinogens that also are possibly to cause cancer in men. We don't have a sure answer on that. Why? We should put like a patch of this carcinogen in the skin and wait the person to live, a couple of years and see if the skin grow a cancer. But who is going to do that in a human being? It's not very well accepted ethically. So, okay, this is the Agency for Research on Cancer, the classification. And this you find in that book that I mentioned yesterday, the Boyle. Coming back here. This is one that mentioned about what we have in cigarette that we use in our normal life here, usual products that we buy in Home Depot, like acetone for pain stripper, acetylene, welding torches, arsenic is an end poison, benzene in a palm. Well, we don't buy that in Home Depot. But butane is a lighter fuel. Cadmium, car batteries, carbon monoxide, car exhaust fumes, DDT, insecticide, formaldehyde, embalming fluid, That's a good one for the smokers. They are preparing themselves for that. Sorry about that. Hydrogen cyanide, capital punishment by gas, lead, old paint and leaded gasoline, methanol, rocket fuel, nicotine. They use nicotine for cockroach poison. Huh. Phenol, toilet bowl disinfectant, polonium-210, nuclear weapons. And propylene glycol, antifreeze, toluene, industrial solvent, vinyl chloride plastic. I want to stay here, just here. Polonium-210. If you want to make someone to quit smoking now, you can tell them that when the person smokes, he is or she is inhaling some radioactive substance. Oh my goodness. But this is what we have there. And this is one of the cancer-causing agents, because radiation will cause the cell to mutate, as we saw yesterday. So this is enough one reason to... Well, of course, they will say, well, is this similar to the normal level of radiation from the ground? I'm not sure about that. But anyways, this is being a very good... I remember I used that a lot in my smoking cessation class and counseling. Say, hey, you have something there that should be enough for you to stop. The 11 carcinogens that they are proven to cause cancer are here. Naphthalamine, well, you can read that. I don't need to. But you see the bottom list is the polonium-210 here. I don't know if it's in polonium, because Polonia for us is Polish or Poland, and I don't know why. Maybe Poland has a lot of resources. Yeah. The Polish sites. Okay, so there is a name. Thank you. So didn't we talk about something like that? But we didn't talk about cigarettes. But we are loading the gun with a weapon. I remember. I have a psychiatrist that was my professor when I finished medical school in psychiatry, and he was what we call a smoker in a row. The ones that chain smoker, yeah. And then we talk about several things. We have to handle this guy in our class. He's a professor. And we have to handle him until we get to suicide. When we get to suicide, one of the kids asks, how about self-suicide? Self-slow suicide. And the guy could not talk anymore. Because that's what they are doing. I mean, nothing than that. Well, I prefer chewing tobacco, yeah? As the guys in baseball do. So I have one patient. It was a nurse in Loma Linda. And she came to our program. She stopped smoking. She was so happy. But her husband was smoking too. And he came and he could not stop. And then I told her, we have a problem now. Because if your husband smokes and you don't, you might have a hard time. Well, I don't know what they did there. But she came back to us and I asked him, how about the man, the gentleman? And he said, well, he is chewing tobacco now. Okay, good for you. Yeah, but I cannot kiss the guy anymore. Well, I don't know about that, but at least for her was not bad. And then when you chew tobacco, according to the Tobacco Atlas, you might increase your risk of oral cavity, lip, tongue, palate, and pharynx cancer. So you just choose where you want your cancer, okay? You want the lung, you smoke the cigarette. You want in the mouth, and so you do cigars. You want in the lip, so you do chewing. I mean, you want in the nose, they have some sniffing. So it's about of taste preference. Of course, we don't talk about that with the smokers. So they are sensitive. Okay. So we cannot say like that, but I mean for us. By the way, if you buy the CD, we have the Tobacco Atlas in the CD. I'm not making any commercial, but because you already bought. So is that you can get this online too. How to stop smoking? When you put a new on a new nicotine patch, you are supposed to take the old ones off, please. Some people, they are so addicted to nicotine. I'll tell you, I have one patient. She comes to our clinic with an oxygen tank. And she comes, so I need help, Dr. Dosan. So I give the program, she goes home, she comes back, cannot stop, Dr. Dosan. We emphysema, bronchitis, whatever you call, she has. Whatever disease you call, she has. I mean, depression, hypertension, diabetes, multiple sclerosis, multiple disease. Then she comes back another week, Dr. Dosan, help me, I cannot stop. And I am with that lady for 1 year. Cannot stop. We gave Chantix, Zyban, patches, inhaler, e-cigarettes, whatever you think she is using and cannot stop. So what we use for smoking? We have, if we want to help someone without doing medication, they call cold turkey. I don't like that name, cold turkey. You quit cold turkey and say, well poor turkey. Huh? But we use, you can, if you use the techniques, you can quit. And the techniques that we have are summarized here. You set in, you have to set a quit date. Then you have to control your environment. I mean, better to erase or eliminate everything that kind of resembles cigarette smoking. And fill your environment with a clean things, with fruits and other things, and throw away the ashtrays and other things like that. Then you get a support group. It's very important. If you have a support group or a sponsor, and then if you are going to be the sponsor, you have to help these guys. I mean, don't nag at them. Don't put them down. Don't judge them. I mean, keep in mind that nicotine is a severe type of addiction. Then if you have this in mind, you can help them. Because you have many of people, they will stop after 4 or 5 times they tried. They will not stop at first time. So just keep that in mind. You ask them how many times you tried. So I never tried. And say, well, he might not stop at the first trial. So then develop a program of rewarding. I mean, you put something there, like how much is a pack of cigarettes? When, how much you pay last time? $5 you pay? Just joking, okay? I'm catching you. But it's $5. Then you put $5 per day if you smoke one pack. And so in 30 days, you have $150. And then you can do a celebration. If you stop smoking, put that money apart, and so you have a reward. So it's valid for the first 6 months that you are doing this. It's good to save that money and do a reward. So this is a behavioral technique that they use. Then substitution. The smoker, they have to have something in their hands. So if you are helping someone, you tell them to have something, or a stress ball, or a pen, or whatever. And then they have to have something in their mouth. So they have to have a toothpick, a licorice stick, or a chewing gum that is sugarless. Please, sugarless. And then whatever you put for them to do. And then you have to assess where, when, what is happening when they smoke. And then they have to do something to replace that. Example, some people, they wake up in the morning, first thing they go for a cigarette. And then you have to put a new routine on that. The first thing you wake up in the morning is you put an orange juice or whatever. Do something else. Go for a walk. Take a shower before. It's funny because one time I was talking about the routine, and then I jumped to the spiritual part, because I always mention on the lifestyle, we always mention the stress, the value of having a meditation, having a devotion in the beginning of the day, because we believe that this is help. It help us as Christians, help anybody. So This is the prescription that I do for my patients. You start your day. You are not Christian, okay? Find some spiritual books or something that helps you. Sometimes I get in trouble with that. But this time I told the lady, well, do you have a Bible? Because she was Christian. And then, because it would be good to read the Bible. And she said, Dr. Dos Santos, I open my Bible and the first thing I do after is light a cigarette. So it was crazy, but it was a trigger for her, and so that one I cannot use. But it happened for you to see how hard is this addiction. Then the diet, exercise, stress. The diet is becoming very interesting. I have one of the books that is from a physician from Australia, and he is saying that according to some research, red meat will increase the craving for cigarette. So we already are on board on that. We take for granted that, well, avoid. But this guy was an Australian guy, a physician, not related to, he's even not a creationist person. So another thing that they found is that fruits and vegetables decrease the cravings. And he mentioned about celery. That is another vegetable that might take the taste away of the craving away. So it's something that we can touch. But again, it's important for us to do to give a little bit of counseling there. Alcohol, pepper, and coffee are related to smoking somehow. So we have to cover that. The only problem is when a person is addicted to multiple substances, and many people are. So they are addicted to coffee, to alcohol, to smoking, and to food. And then we have to do something to cut this, and sometimes it's not easy to go over and quit all of these things. So with coffee, that is the most common. Many people stop alcohol, and they cannot stop smoking. It's very common, this. But they drink coffee, and then we have to assess if they are addicted to coffee. How do you know if a person is addicted to coffee? Now you can speak a little bit to not sleep too much. Headaches. If they stop, they get headaches. That's it. Irritability. That's it. Sleeplessness. You can function without it. So we should bring some coffee here, please. Yeah, my goodness. Yeah, so when they have this kind of addiction, so, I mean, the easiest way is to ask them to stop drinking coffee for a couple of days. They stop drinking coffee for 3 or 4 days, they will feel miserable, headache, irritable, and all of these things, so it means that they are addicted. But in general, 4 or 5, if a person drinks 4 or 5 cups of coffee or Coca-Cola per day, they are addicted to it. So if they take off, they will feel symptoms. So then that's why when we deal with people that are addicted to coffee, we have to make a deal. Hey, you have to keep in mind, the best way is to quit this, because this will call for cigarette. But we have to sometimes make in phases. If you put 2 of them at the same time, some people might not be able to overcome. But it's individual case. I just want to mention that you have to be aware of this coffee. In the past, we say, well, quit everything. But some people are very weak. If you quit everything, they will die. Not die, but they will. Oh, I have one patient that he died after 80 years old smoking, and he died from a heart disease. But he was my friend, and then he was smoking in front of his daughter. His daughter was always with tonsillitis and amygdala. Amygdalitis, tonsillitis, the same thing. Rhinitis and all of these respiratory infections. Otitis. Always, every 3 or 4 months with that because of the girl. When I talked to him, he said, hey, privacy here. We are friends. We will keep the friendship. But you don't even mention that. So he ended up dying. And, well, now his daughter is better. But people have these barriers sometimes. But we have to understand that this is a disease. This is an addiction. Smoke is an addiction. That's why we have some help. We have the nicotine patches, the gums, and the lozenges. The lozenges are, I mean, all of these three you can buy over the counter in this state. I don't know if in your countries you can buy that. Do you know anything about that? The gum also? Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah. No, I mean, if the government allow, well, she's saying that the government pays for that. What I'm asking is that if you can buy without a prescription in your country. So how about in Martinique? No. You don't know because you prescribed everything, huh? You are in charge of that, so. Five-day plan, yeah. Coffee, meat, sugar, yeah. Sugar is another thing that might be related to craving. Might increase your craving, yeah. You're right. Yeah, no doubts about that. That's I made an interview with Dr. McFarland. That was the first. He might have been in your country, and he was the one that he started these 5-day plans. And he went to China, and he was when China was very heavy communist, and he was promoting the 5-day plans. Which part of that was God? And he said that he was sitting there with the communist leaders, and sometimes one leader will come and will talk to him. Oh, I'm a communist, but I'm a Christian. Don't tell anybody, but I'm happy that you are here. And I believe in God. Praise the Lord. And then so it's very, very interesting. But no doubt, that's the main, I think the main part of the 5-day plan is the God part. The other part could improve. I mean, we have now the Breathe Free program that is a little more evoluted, and I use the Quit Now. All of them are followers of the one, but the Quit Now is a little more with the behavioral techniques that I mentioned here. And you can buy the Quit Now in the ministerial department of the General Conference. So we have some departments that work together, but it's not the health department, it's the ministerial department. Quit Now program. So if you are interested, this is a very modern program for the modern 5-day plan that you can do. Well, besides that, we have the nasal spray, we have the inhaler, we have the bupropion and the varenicline, the Shantix. In some countries, it's Shampix. Maybe in your country, it's a different name. Well, we have some restrictions for this. I mean, Zyban is an antidepressive. And as you know, antidepressive has a lot of side effects. I don't like to use that. My preference when I get a patient is to use the patches. If I have to do something, first thing is the patches. Why? Low dose. What's that? Okay, if they have a side effect, just take it off. What else? Simple. Ready available. And they are used to that. So they are used to nicotine already. So I don't expect them. I mean, people say, well, it's going to cause a heart problem. Excuse me. The guy is using 2 packs of cigarettes per day. Now the highest patch is 21 milligrams. So you will not cause more than what they already have. And the release of nicotine is going to be slower than what you smoke. So I don't see any problem if I have to use that, if I have to help. Question. Well, they have more problems? No, I don't. I don't think so. I will disagree with you on that. Yeah. Well, if we this is the old school. Sorry about that. This is the old school. Dr. McFarlane, Dev. He worked, but I mean, the big failure of 5-day plans is just 5-day plans. It's 5-day plans. So you lose a lot of smokers because of that program. Because you in 5-day plans, you have 100 people. I mean, 50% stop. The other 50, they will go away. And then this 50% will stop in 3 months. They reduce to 20. And then goes, I don't know what happened. We never know. Nobody does. And you are going to do another course in 2 or 3 years in ahead. And I mean, what you do? So that's the big failure on that. We accept the, but if we don't do a follow-up, if you don't have a support group, we are not doing much. But I agree with you. The main thing is behavior. If we have a support group, if we have a constant program for stop smoking, this would be better than anything else. And I don't discuss about that. But stay with me. I mean, we are talking here about heroin. Do you expect to do a 5-day plan for people to stop taking heroin? It's impossible. It's almost like we say, if you talk to a doctor, say, it is impossible. So why we don't take some of those can to help? So that's my point.
And the ones that were not successful, he took them to the youth camp with his family for a whole week to try to help them get off. Because he knew that many of them wouldn't make it, but his son was a cancer.
Yeah. Well, the secret of any stop smoking program is long term. If we promote a long term, it doesn't matter what kind of method you use, but you are providing assistance for these guys too. But the thing is that when you do a long term, you have to have weapons in your pocket. If the guy comes back and you keep saying the same thing, oh, comes back, well, don't drink coffee. They come back, don't drink coffee. And if it doesn't help them, you have to be a little more open, offer something else. And we'll help some guys. We got to a point that whatever you do that help, except for hypnotism. I don't buy hypnotism. Hypnotherapy, people are using that to stop smoking. I don't buy that. So, but the other, even putting a needle in your ear, if you stop with that, okay, that's okay. Well, we say, well, we don't buy acupuncture or whatever. But I am from the side of the patients. I feel that we have to try as much as possible because this is a big killer. We have to try whatever we can to help this person to overcome. And then we have to use what we can and what we cannot if we... Because if they don't stop in a 5-day plan, and then we lost it. And then they will not come back. Or if they come back, you are going to put them in the program again. And you are not offering the program, so please, then. The success rate for all of this is 30%. So if you have a better one, you tell me. One day I came here in Florida. The doctors came to the podium telling about a success rate of 70% and say, you are not being honest with me, sorry. Because 70% is like that. You do the program with 100 And then in the first week, you lose 50% of this. You just have 50. And then from the 50, 70% of them quit. But you know, you lost 50% already. How can you say 70%? And then if you go 3 months with those 50, you have lower and lower. Success rate should be 6 months after you do the program. At least this is behavioral therapy, behavioral outcomes. 6 months after any change is considered a time that we can say that the person is in maintenance. He is now going to a behavior that he already overcame. Well, one of the best ways that people use the patches and an inhaler, or the patches and a gum. I am very frank with you. In the beginning, I was a five-day plan person. When I came to America, I did a lot of five-day plans in Brazil. When I came here, I was expecting that I will continue. But if you do a five-day plan, okay, if you don't want to use the patches, you do a five-day plan in this state, in this country, 50% of your audience will already have the patches. We will be using the patches already. So they will not ask you. They are already using. They need a little more support for that. So, well, that's it. There is other things that are helping there. E-cigarettes. There is now a dissolving candy that is getting a little discussion in the country here, because they said, well, the kids will like that, and dissolved nicotine is much better. And they have chewing, smoking, and powder smoking. And the e-cigarettes is a big fuss. I am in my class. Most of my students say, well, e-cigarette is not good. And I am the one that's saying that is good. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I'm saying that it's not worse than cigarette. Because they say, well, why don't FDA stop this business? They stop this e-cigarette because this is not something harmful. Well, why don't they stop smoking in the first place? It is on the FDA now. But they cannot stop. And they cannot stop this. This is less harmful than cigarettes. So it will not produce too much. I'm not a defender of this. I like this to use for the smoking cessation. People are using that to substitute. But it will create less passive or environmental tobacco smoking. So secondhand smoking is going to be lower with these e-cigarettes. And then you want to kill yourself, you kill, but don't kill your family, okay? Please. And that would be the point. Okay, let's move on from that. Diet and cancer. So diet is 30%. 30% of the cause of cancer is attributed to diet. And this is the main things. I mean, fruits and vegetables. I like this mention here about from Harvard Medical School, one of the most reputable schools in the country. Reduce consumption of saturated fat and red meat might increase the risk of colon and prostate cancer. So, I don't know why they don't say that to other types of disease, because this is becoming common to diabetes and hypertension and cholesterol and things like that. But at least they are in the right way. They cannot avoid that, omit that, hide that. This is getting to the science now more and more and more. Limit your intake of charred broiled foods, meat, and avoid deep fried foods, and increase consumption of fruits and vegetables and whole grains. So this is not a Loma Linda book. This is not Loma Linda University saying. This is Harvard Medical School. That's good. This part here is important for you to know that, I think you know, but when you barbecue the meat, and then the meat will drop the fat on the charcoal, and the charcoal will get the benzopyrene, and this is equivalent to such and such cigarette smoking and so. Like they smoked meat. Yeah. Yeah. I think we are going to get there. We are going to get there. But in terms of meat, I was born in the country that we eat meat three times a day. I was talking to the guys in the morning in class that I was giving a lecture. And then in south of Brazil, they put they have a stick, and they put a stick on the charcoal directly, and then it caused this thing. But one day I was traveling in Argentina with the gauchos in Argentina, and I saw the sticks putting like that. And then in the side, the meat will not drop, and the charcoal will not produce the benzopyrene. So it's better to do that. And when I was in the clinic, I told the patients that. And then they said, "Oh, thank you, Dr. Dos Santos. I came to your clinic to learn how to cook meat." That was really messed up. But it's still better than... So, in the positive side, use more fruits and vegetables because they protect against those four cancers and more cancers. Well, here we have the position that I always push. We don't need to go to the community and say, if you eat red meat, you are going to have this cancer, and this disease, and so people will turn off on you if you start like that. So I believe the best way is to go with a DASH diet. Not sure if you know what the DASH diet is. A dietary approach to stop hypertension, okay? It's DASH. You can Google it and you'll know more about that. But the DASH diet, they promote 8 servings a day of fruits and vegetables. I don't know, yesterday they mentioned that we should use 10 servings of vegetables and 10 servings of fruits. And then I would say, oh, who can eat that? I mean, you cannot eat 10 servings. 20 servings per day and fruits. Yeah, but I mean, well, I don't know. I never heard 10 servings of peach. I would say 10 servings of both. That's fine. That's more, yeah. Well, 10 servings of both is... But the DASH diet mentioned about 8 to 10 servings of fruits and vegetables per day. So the advantage of this is that this is not from Loma Linda again. So you can use that. And this... They follow up with whole grains. They follow up with other things that low fat meats, and they are not vegetarian. But I have a hypertension clinic in a church one time, and then we have a group of people with hypertension. This is something that I preach that we should do more. I used to have a cholesterol clinic, hypertension clinic, diabetes clinic in the church. That was a support group. And then we are going to start now. I don't run those anymore, but I'm going to start now a support group for weight control. It's something that we should have more. According to, I think I talked to you about that, to check what is the need of the community. But that's the important part. I forgot to mention this last time, that sometimes we go with a new start and we should go on disease focus, but the main thing is that we go in Hong Kong when we talk about New Start, and I did a lot of that, and the main problem that they have sometimes is depression and suicide, and we forget completely about that, and we focus in something that might be good, but we leave behind a lot of needs. So thank you for reminding me yesterday that we have to check. Is a doctor there. What's her name again? Dr. Lloyd Douglas. So he is planning to go to Loma Linda. I was planning. We are negotiating that. But he mentioned about that the main thing is to do a screening to see what is the need of your surrounding community. And then you can push some stuff. And let's go back to this. I got my patient in... I will see your hand there. I got my patient in to take 8 servings of fruits and vegetables per day. And then she passed 1 week and she wrote that. She has to bring the report. And then she said, Dr. Dos Santos, if I have to eat 8 servings of fruits and vegetables per day, I cannot eat anything else. So that's the point. That's the point. This is supposed to be apple, green apple. Yeah, you need to eat 1 serving of lemon per day. Your life is going to be sour, I'll tell you. No, I mean, I think lemon you just have to... Something in water. Please, don't use that much sugar as they put in this lemonade. I put like this on the lemonade in my cup and then I fill up with water to drink a little bit because it's too sweet. Yeah, because... No, it's good. I mean, I don't know about this business about. I have a pastor that came and did the 21 days with lemon, and in 21 days he would do 21 lemons, and then I said, okay, but 21 days without eating is not that good. No, but I was good, and he has a problem with his gallbladder, and has some stones there, and so he did the diet, and he was wonderful. And I told Pastor, but don't tell the church about that because you might have problem with people going there and having doing that and they don't have supervision. So we stay with that a long time. Yeah, it's good for you, okay. But he went to the church and he said, oh, yeah, lemon. Okay, what happened? He passed 2 months. He went to a pizza party. And then he went from the pizza party directly to the emergency room. 100 stones in his gallbladder. So, you cannot do those things and think that you can get away and do whatever you want later on. So, I don't buy much on that. But there are some benefits if you want to detox. But the more important, don't forget, is the homework, is the lifestyle. You have to go and do a lifestyle. Yeah, that's another. That's the big question that they always ask in this, and it's hard for me to understand to answer that. So, well, first of all, if you can do organic bed, yeah, so no doubt about it. So, but if you are out of this country or even this country, I mean, you are gonna buy a tomato like these tomatoes here. You're organic, you're going to pay $2 or $3 a pound. So can you afford that? If you, the other one is going to be 99 cents a pound. So, but, yeah, but I mean, you live in California, for you to get tomatoes from here is going to be hard in the website. I mean, you cannot have fresh foods. Well, yeah. Well, that in that way is okay. But well, let me finish my answer because you don't allow me to finish. So I just buy organic. Okay, that's the first one. Then let's go to the second one. The second part is that most of the research that we are saying here were not done by organic. So that just for you. Most of the research that is done in the prevention of cancer in the world, with fruits and vegetables, they are not whatsoever organic. So let's just keep that. The third one is that if you are concerned, you have to go to a list that she mentioned. There are several places that you can have a list of things. And mostly you have to know that this one, like I go to the supermarket, they have organic bananas. So you are kidding me. Because with this hard organic pineapple, excuse me, because with this hard skin here, you are not going to have a problem with this. The oranges and watermelons is going to be less. This is a problem. This is the one of the worst is the strawberry. And then tomato also is bad. Blueberries, if you can buy wild blueberries, much better. Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, peaches are not good too. So it has to be a hard. I mean, you have to peel it, so then you are okay. But there is some that. What is the worst food that can have pesticides? Steve, you're getting close. Grapes is bad, but is a vegetable that you learn in high school. Some high school kids do an experiment with that. They put a cup with paint, and then they put a celery stick on that, and in a couple of seconds, this celery. So, is the worst vegetable to eat is celery. So, if you want a celery, you buy organic because. Yeah. That's it.
The best is asparagus. That's what
the asparagus. Worst is celery. Asparagus? Asparagus is not hard, huh? Asparagus is. Yeah?
No, I'm telling you what the article said.
But I mean. Yeah, but it was okay. But, anyways, then you have to make a balance there. But that's the situation. I don't have any other answer than that. Well, I always tell the story that this is the research saying that it is protective even though with pesticides. So that's what I say. Because I am not in the ideal place and people might not have the money to buy that. And it's still, if you are talking to a carnivore, people that eat meat, they are in bigger trouble than we are because the pesticides, they will sediment and deposit in the fat. So if you have pesticides in your neighbor, you cannot eat the meat that a fish, by instance, is very polluted because all the things that are going there and deposit in the lakes, in the water. So our beef is contaminated too. So you can argue like that, hey, you cannot escape from that. Yeah. The price is up. Yeah, the price will be better, but it's still up. But that's a good thing. Yeah. Well, all the research saying that for pesticides it might not work. Whatever you do, that I mean, is inside, and it might not work the washing thing. But you wash. I mean, we have to wash anyways. At least there is some contamination with salmonella that you are getting away with if you wash very well. Okay, let's move on here. Fruits and veg are rich in quercetin. Quercetin inhibits the mutation of the gene P53. What's P53? Now I got you. Protestant gene is the suppressor gene. You see, we have the oncogene and have the suppressor gene. Oncogene is the gene that causes cancer. And then the cell has a suppressor gene that will fix the cell and cause apoptosis and then destroy the cells. So this is the gene that we want. But if there is a mutation on that, remember the soldier that is dead there? Yeah, that's what happened. So quercetin protects this gene. So that's the good advantage. So we have green tea, capers, apples. On the biggest source is green tea and capers. So I have the levels here. Green tea has 2,000 milligrams or kilogram of quercetin, and capers 1,800. What's capers? This one is capers. Whatever. I never eat this. I didn't know that this was good, but. Usually the Mediterranean cuisine, they use that, they pickle it. So you can, yeah. Yeah, you can pickle with lemon juice and vinegar, yeah, if you want, but that's it. There is another one called lovage, that is the parsley family. This is a picture of this lovage, but I haven't seen this before. And you can go away with apples and red onion. So, also, fruits and vegetables are rich in folic acid that protect against mutations. So, the richest source of folic acid is this one. Beans. And then, one time they call me Dr. Bean. Another time they call me Dr. Garlic, because I promote these a lot. So if something that you can eat more is beans. I mean, even with pesticides, they have low pesticides. Because they go inside of a cover, so they might not be inside of the bean. But beans are good for diabetes. Beans are good for hypertension. The best food for weight control. Best food for cancer. And best food to drop cholesterol. Any kinds of beans. Yeah, it is there. So, beans are the richest source of fiber that we have. I think I will have, later on I will show you a table for that. Yeah, garbanzo or chickpeas. Excellent. So that's the secret. Once people say, well, I have a lot of gas with beans, and say, well, choose one. That one bean that is not that hard for you and that you can digest, because there is thousands of varieties. Only soybean, there are 4,000 varieties of soybean, just soybean. So you can imagine how long. To finish, I will get to you. I have a weight control program, and then people say, what's the best food? And I say, beans, beans, and beans. And then they said, beans? But beans give me gas. I say, well, gas will make you lighter. That's great. That's so good. Yeah. The best recipe, the best is this one. I mean, at least the one that I know. But now we have lemon to do an experiment. But if you put the beans in water and leave for 2-3 hours, then you throw this water. If you do 2 times that, you might eliminate the enzymes that produce the gas. So you can do that also. Okay, here we have the cruciferous. The cruciferous are the vegetables that have a kind of a flower that is in the format of a cross. And cross is crux in, not crux, but crux. In Latin, and then means the bearing, cross-bearing. So, what flower is this? Anybody? They call in America rocket lettuce, but it's arugula or something. So you see the taste. I have this planted in my garden. I don't have much of a garden, but my wife likes this type of vegetable. It's a little bitter. The Italian you like to use that, and so.
Eat the flowers too?
No. The flower. When the flower is like that, this is gonna be too bitter and too strong. You might not handle that. Yeah. So how about this? It's four. You should know that. No. Oh my goodness, you don't know which one is that? You look like the guys that Oliver was doing this in LA. You know Chef Oliver? I will tell the story about this. This is spinach. Come on, guys. Spinach. Yeah. You haven't seen spinach, so you better check it out, okay? How about this one? I have a clue here. This is a clue. Here, other clue here, please.
Oh, that's broccoli.
Broccoli, ah! And this one is a little hard. It's also, it has a B here, but this is cauliflower. Cauliflower. You don't know about that, huh? If you say collard greens, who said so? Collard greens, yeah. You see the leaves here? Yeah. Collard greens, this is the... Okay, you are good. I love this stuff, I mean, to go and check these things. The funny thing is that Oliver, this English-British chef, he went to a school in, I think it was in Minnesota, high school, elementary school. And then he brought this truck full of fat. And then he brought this, so he said, well, this is the amount of fat that you are eating per year in this school. And he brought the kids together and the parents to see how much fat they were using. I did that. If you are in my class in the morning, so you already know that. But then he got a tomato and a bottle of ketchup. And then he asked the kids, you know what's that? So no kid. There was no kid that knew what a tomato was. And then he asked, you know what's that? Yeah, it's ketchup. Oh. And they didn't know that ketchup was made by tomato. He bought a potato. And you know what's that? We never seen a potato. A potato. I don't know. Then he bought a bag of French fries. Oh, French fries. French fries are made from potato. Do you know that? Can you believe that? This guy went to L.A. and then he has a hard time in the L.A. school district because he want to bring the TV on, and the L.A. district didn't want to have the TV because to show how bad was their diet before. I don't know what they are doing there now, but this is what's happening in this country. So if we don't do something, we will have an epidemic of cancers here that we will not be able to control. Because we are not eating more of this stuff. We are eating... The best thing that you do with the kids is to teach them or work with them to cultivate, to buy and to prepare. Because then you have them on your side. That's a great idea. Okay, so fruits are rich also in lycopene, like watermelon, tomatoes, and lycopene also protect against DNA mutations in the lungs and intestinal cells. So we have lycopene here in tomatoes. And then beans and whole cereals such as whole wheat bread and brown rice can reduce the risk of stomach and pancreas cancer. It's not a very strong evidence, but they have some effect. So meat and cancer. So this was presented by this, expert in cancer that she went to Loma Linda. She was from Europe. She was not Adventist. And she said, eating less meat can lower the risk of this cancer according to her research. Then we have a lot more on that later on. Too much salt is related to stomach cancer. But mostly it's not related to salt itself, but the process that they do on the salt. I'm okay. Well, that's what I mentioned yesterday, that milk might prevent cancer, or intestinal cancer. But, the association with milk and colon cancer is not strong. The association with milk and producing prostate cancer is not strong also. So, yeah, but unfortunately, it's like the smoking problem. It's going to take a while until we get the industry to stop promoting this. Unfortunately, the lobbies, at least in this country, the lobbies are calling more than any health educator. So, and that's why we have to form coalitions and people together to speak up, because nobody's going to do that if someone doesn't start. Okay, the involution theory, that's the involution theory, so... Okay, less fat. So now we have a problem with fat. So too much fat will have a problem in the brain, in the eyes, because of diabetes. Liver, fat liver. You remember this guy that Michael Spurlock spent 2 months or 3 months in supersize me. And one of the things that he developed after he was eating only McDonald's food, he developed fat liver cancer, fat liver cells. just fat liver. And then we will say, well, because until then, nobody mentioned a little bit. Physicians would not mention much about that. Fat liver would be from cirrhosis or if you are obese. And not because you ate a McDonald's type of food. So even that we could use in science and say, hey, you are using this food, you are harming yourself. Just be careful. Okay, gallbladder stones, kidney stones, problems in your back because of the excess of weight, thyroid problems, esophagus reflux, GERD, lungs, asthma, heart disease, diabetes, infertility, and problems in your knees and ankles and hip. So we have enough problems with obesity. But obesity can increase the insulin growth factor 1, and then it will increase leptin and insulin. And those, most of them are promoters of cancer cells, and will increase the risk of colorectal cancer, uterus, pancreas, and kidney cancers. And leptin with colorectal and prostate cancer. So we have enough evidence on that. Type 2 diabetes and cancer. So diabetes have already enough consequences to be banned, but if you have diabetes and you have insulin resistance, so you also have one promoter of cancer in your side. So those are the cancers that are mostly related to obesity, and there is a couple of more cancers that are added to this list, like the thyroid cancer. I believe leukemia is also related to that. So there is I might need to update this. Of course, this is what I took from that book. The book keeps on that. But there are some researchers saying that the variety of cancer is becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. So if we need to be concerned about cancer, it's not just like eat fat or eat pesticides or not eating pesticides or eating meat or not eating meat, but keeping your weight down, because the weight up will be a mess. By the way, there is an interesting thing. If you could take all your fat and when you make a surgery or whatever and analyze the fat, it will be rich of pesticides. You know that? It will be rich in pesticides. The pesticides go there and they force in our fat. So that's why when you go to a crash diet, you have to be careful. Because in the first time, you might intoxicate yourself. Because you might have release of this fat from the tissues and go to circulation. So you have to drink a lot of water and be under supervision on that. Well, this is one slide that I present a lecture in Chile. And then this was made in Chile, in the Universidad of Valparaíso. They say, Don Ronald, American lost his farm because of junk food. These burgers are making you fat. So it's a whole campaign that they are doing against McDonald's in their country. And this is something that we have to wake up. That's the main reason that we are against McDonald's, because they are buying our children. They are making up our children's mind. Children know more about Mr. Ronald McDonald than many other characters around. Okay, so what's the best way to lose weight? So I have this picture of Dr. Zerbini, the first surgeon in Brazil to do a heart transplant, and very famous in South America, but he is already dead. But he was doing a speech, and then in this speech he was explaining, when a person comes to my office with weight problems, and then I tell them, well, you have to control your food, and they say, oh, my daughter, I don't eat much. Then he would open a drawer and will show this picture. And then he said, do you see any fat people here? Oh, no, doctor, this is a Nazi concentration camp. Say, well, they don't have food and they cannot be fat. And then put in the door again, the drawer, and close down, and that's it. kind of a little Nazi way, but that was his approach. I don't have a video. So questions. Mention four cancers related to cigarettes. Lung cancer, prostate cancer, prostate, esophagus, larynx. We could say that mention the ones that are not related. We might not find one that is not related. Two cancers related to obesity: breast and pancreas. So let's talk about exercise now. Is exercise good or bad? So exercise will decrease obesity. Is related to 5% of cancers. I would say doing exercise can relieve 5% of cancer. Decrease. Lower risk of colon cancer, and that's a very good positive results here. Probably lower risk of breast and uterus cancer. And then if you control obesity, we have the whole list of cancers that could go indirectly. And then might be good for lung and pancreas. So this is a joke. We need one more break, huh? No? Don't need a break? Okay. That's good for me. We already did that. Low exercise, you might put down your immunity. Normal exercise, you have a good immunity, but high exercise might stop your immune system. So just pay attention to that. Even though cyclists have anti-leukemic activity more than controls. So it means that the exercise, if you do, is still good. And this is the cancer death according to fitness status. It's an old slide, but it's still good. So if you are poor fitness, your mortality for cancer in general is for women and men are increased. If you are moderate fit, you have almost half of mortality. And then if you are in good fitness, you have one-fifth or more, one-fifth of the mortality here. So there is no doubts about that in across from the studies. So this is what the new prescription for exercise. 150 minutes, I put hours. Huh? 150 minutes per week and 300 minutes per week. So please fix it up your slide and your handouts there. Then you are going to quote me on that, and it's going to be a problem. Children is going to be 1 hour per day. And then we have this part here that is non-exercise activity thermogenesis. What's that? Anybody can help? Non-exercise activity thermogenesis. No. This is the simplest. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Thank you. This is a simple exercise. Non-exercise activity thermogenesis is the exercise that you do while you are sitting down there, if you are. Or the ones that you do, this is one. But this it does not burn much calories. That's the only one, fidgeting. If you fidget, one finger is going to be 10 calories per hour that you burn. But finding other types of devices to help people that stay sitting down. You have a pedal here. We have the one that you, what do you call that? I don't remember the name. And then this is Dr. James Levine. This is the guy from Mayo Clinic. He is working in his office. And then he bought a computer there, and then with a screening and a phone and a fax line, and then he works like that. So we can buy now a desk that they call a treadmill desk, and then it costs about $1,500. So you say, oh, it's too much. Well, and if you want to save your life and do some exercise during the day, unless you stay giving the lecture like me, so I'm doing exercise, you are not. Let's stand up a little bit, please. And I will not stop talking. So, move your legs. Move your hands. And let's do something. If you do some exercise during the day like that, you can burn up to 350 calories extra per day. And then, this is equivalent to 45 minutes walking, and then can bring 10 to 30 pounds of your weight down in 1 year. So, but we have to, the secret is not stay more than 1 hour sitting. We already passed 1 hour here. The other secret is that try to walk down the stairs, up the stairs, do a little more on that. And use your legs. Use more your legs as you can. Other things is that you can bring to your office some equipment that you can do exercise. And then you should wear a pedometer. That's good also. Then you will... That's better than... That's better. You cannot lie with that. So, it's important, there is a little bit of research that if you don't do anything during the day and then you do 1 hour exercise in the gym, you counteract the benefit. 8 hours sitting, 10 hours sitting, and then 1 hour there in the gym, is not good or not enough. So, if you can do something during the day, much better. Okay, if you want to stay standing up, I don't mind. If you sit, you please sit, but I'll continue here. Smoking, even exercise, this is something complicated. Huh? Exercise for smokers, they have more less cancer than people that don't exercise and don't smoke. What? People that exercise and smoke, fit people. They have less cancer than the guys that exercise, that don't exercise and don't smoke. So exercise is more important. Across from the studies, across from the Advanced Health Study, one of the main things that they come out is that exercise is important to prevent disease and increase longevity. The same thing they found for exercise and obesity. Even if you are fat, but you exercise, you have less heart disease than the ones that are skinny and don't exercise. Uh-huh. And the same for high cholesterol. Exercise, high cholesterol, still better than non-exercise, normal cholesterol. So don't forget about that. We focus on diet much, but for those things, We figured out that exercise might have a way. So now we have something that is not related directly to lifestyle. We have the HPV, human papilloma virus, that is a cause of what kind of cancer? Yeah, that's interesting. Someone mentioned the British way to say that, because here we say cervical cancer, but when I was in Hong Kong, they say cervical. Oh, my goodness. When I come here and I say cervical, I say, what? But anyways, 99% of people that have cervical cancer have HPV. Early sexual experience and multiple sexual partners are related to that. We will have, when we talk about cervical cancer, we will talk a little more about this, and there is a big confusion with the Gardasil and Cervarix, the vaccines for that. Some people are disturbed with that. But we will get there. So, question.
You said that the virus is not bad, is that
no, I said that. I said in the first that we will go to a chapter of things that are not much of lifestyle, okay. as we Adventists have it, but. Is related to lifestyle, no doubts about that. This one particularly, yeah, is a different, is a sexual lifestyle, but is no doubts. And this creates a problem, you know, for us, because sometimes you have in the church, someone with a cervical cancer, and then just married with the same wife and 4 years, and all of a sudden, well, it is a problem. The pastor don't know, but we know. And then we say, oh, what's going on here now? I mean, someone is jumping the fence.
Because of their early life, that they can with
cervical cancer. Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, if someone has this cancer that is not sexually transmitted, it's going to be a very good exception. And that's what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying that is impossible, but it's very rare nowadays. In the past, we have whatever, because they might not know what was the cancer. But nowadays, this is related. It's like having AIDS without having sex. So for you to have AIDS to not having transmission, you have to have in the blood somewhere. This one is not going to go to the blood. Yeah, but the other point is that you have to have constant. It's not just one sexual contact that will cause that. So you have to have a constant contact in one way in your life to have this. But anyways, we are stuck on that. I'm even not talking about cervical cancer yet. I thought you are going to help me. My goodness. You're going to enter in another discussion. The vaccine, just to cut off vaccination, there is no problem with vaccination, okay? No problem whatsoever with vaccination. The problem, the side effects with vaccination, they prove, is the same side effect that we have in normal life. So it's not a problem. It's the ethical part of the vaccination that's the problem. But the vaccination don't have anything. I'm not sure if you buy with me, but yeah. That's another thing. That's the way to go. Circumcision. I don't think so. Circumcision does not do anything. What you're saying there? From where? No, this is not proven. The problem is hygiene, okay, and sexual transmission. They got to the conclusion that you are circumcised, you might be in worse place than a non-circumcised because you are not going to have enough hygiene. You think, oh, I'm free now. But is not, this does not have anything anymore to do with that. So circumcised and non-circumcised, they don't have any effect on transmission of disease.
Is it true that among the Jews, they have less incidence of the cervical cancer?
Yeah, probably because less promiscuity. Probably. Probably less promiscuity because it's a transmitted disease. I consider that a transmitter. It's a virus disease that's transmitted. So you don't have a way to transmit. You might not have it. Let's go to AIDS, okay? Change the subject here. Enough trouble for one day. AIDS is easy. Well, the relationship between AIDS and cancer is that it decreases your immune system. AIDS attack the real factors that are supposed to fight the cancers. And then it is related to the Kaposi sarcoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, Hodgkin lymphomas, and then cancer everywhere. So this is one of the complications of the disease. At least one thing good is the picture of this virus. It's beautiful. Maybe you don't like that. I like it. HPV is beautiful. At least when they put a contrast, it's beautiful. Then the Epstein-Barr virus is another one. And we have a cytomegalovirus that is related to AIDS. And the Epstein-Barr virus that is related to the Burkitt's lymphoma. And then the pharyngeal cancer that is common in Asia. other biologic agents. So we have the HBV, HCV virus that relate to liver cancer, human retrovirus that might relate to some lymphoma, Helicobacter pylori that is not a virus but is related to stomach cancer, and then we have these mostly in schistosomosis in countries that have this parasite, like Brazil is common, this north of Brazil is very common. So when we have a lot of water and they have these snails, and they snails are the host for this schistosoma, and then attack the liver and bladder. So this is a picture of Helicobacter pylori. So if you have a stomach ulcer, or if you have indigestion, you should check for this bacteria and do the breath test that they normally use in the clinics to check if you have. And sometimes you need an antibiotic, or you might try charcoal. I believe charcoal will eliminate this, and even garlic eliminate this. I don't have a research; it's just a clinical observation. But I treated many patients with ulcers with garlic, with the charcoal, and they improved. Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's at least anything that is in your digestive system. I have maybe I don't have a time to talk about that. Let's go. HBV. So is the hepatitis virus, and then is a picture of that. So alcohol. Alcohol increases the risk of this cancer: mouth, pharyngeal, laryngeal, esophagus, colorectal, breast, and liver. So we have a big list of effects here. There is no safe amount for alcohol, and that's the in terms of cancer. Even the moderate drink is a higher risk of cancer. There is a dose response association. So this is what we found in science. When you have a dose response association, we'll say that means that you increase the dose of something and increase the problem, then you have something that is not proven, but is almost something evident. So alcohol and heart disease is a problem because low doses is a U relationship. Low doses will, let me see if I have this. No, I don't have. I will come back to that. But low doses will have lower rates of heart disease, and so moderate dose we have a lower rate, and then high dose will have a higher rate again. So it's a U relationship, and that's a little confusing for statistic to explain. It might not be a strong evidence, but this one is strong. So when we get there, we are going to talk. So we have the sun. The sun produces radiations that can ultraviolet that can damage the DNA. And so we have more risk of skin cancer. Skin cancer is the most common cancer, but it's not that deadly. 90% carcinomas, and so let's see, is rare in the skin covered by clothes. So this gives you an idea. The problem here is that, so we have all the benefits of the skin, but skin also forms vitamin D, what is anti-carcinogen. So now they are saying that vitamin D produced by the sun has a better benefit than the sun producing carcinomas in the skin. So it's something that is hard to put them there. It is. The thing is still that the sun will usually cause more cancer in the skin, and then vitamin D will protect some other cancer. So it might be different sites. So what I advise is that this is the main areas of cancer in the body. So put a sombrero there, and you might be okay. And then you might need to leave the other parts with cancer. But it's not good to stay, a baked chicken there. It's not good to stay long times. Because the main problem with sun is not that you have the sun, but when you have sunburn. Yes. So this is the you have to avoid sunburn. So sunburn, if you keep getting this, and One important thing is sunburn when you are a child. Many people that have cancer of the skin when they are old, they have sunburns when they are a child, children. So just pay attention to that. Other cancer factors, family history, occupational factors, growth and perinatal factors. So let's go there. We talk about hereditary, so now we have family history of 5%. And I mentioned about 10% and go until 20%. But this, every time you read someone, mention a different percentage on that. But anyways, so we have some cancers that are running in the family. Those three cancers are the most common that are hereditary or have some genes. Breast, ovary, and colorectal. Breast, the breast and ovary that are common in the Jewish, and this one they have, if you trace, you can trace this even both or each one in the Jewish family, and it comes with generation. And I have a friend that she is not a Jewish, she is Portuguese and Japanese, and she has a positive for that, and was very hard because she has to take off of the both breasts. And but now she has a daughter, and then they might need to check if the daughter has the same thing, or at least the same gene. And this is the phrase that you like to use. Huh? Faulty genes load the gun, but lifestyle pulls the trigger. So, and that's what I want to talk about, the epigenetic theory, that even if you have the genes, nowadays they have the gene expression depends on your lifestyle. So this gene might be dormant the whole life and not affected, but if you start eating fat, you start not doing exercise or smoking, this gene say, oops, that's now we have an environment and change this. So it's a beginning of a thing, but it's more complicated than I am explaining here, but at least it's something new that will put, is it nature or nurture, put in doubt that maybe everything that we do is not genetic, but there is a big influence of what we do on that. And I remember one time I was taking a look about a story about a bird that they have in the what they call it, this island, Pascua. Is on Chile. So they have this bird in the Pascua Island in Chile, and they have the same bird in the continent in Chile. But in the Pascua Island, the bird does not have wings. And in the Chile in the continent, the bird, same family, it has wings. So ended up that they studied this, and they found out that the bird in the island does not have wings because he eats just the worms in the ground. And in Chile, they don't have the worms in the ground. The bird has to fly to get the worms. So I'm not talking about evolution theory, but what they have is that they did the mapping of the genes was exactly the same. But this gene was expressed according to the need, and then this expression developed the wings, and this one does not need the wings. It killed the wings or didn't develop the wings. So this is, it helps us to understand that if we mess up with lifestyle, our genes might become active here. So, yeah, that's a responsibility out there. There is something. This stuff is exciting sometimes, and is being a little more developed. Like they study some diabetes that when they found a genetic pattern. So they have two groups of people. One group was with a genetic pathway, a genetic alteration. The other was without gene alteration. But both have diabetes. So when they did the lifestyle, guess what? The ones that have the genetic problem were the ones that control better the disease with the lifestyle change than the ones that didn't have. So there is something interesting about these patterns that it looks like if you have the gene, if you go for a lifestyle, it's going to have more effects than if you don't. It's up to you to decide that. But like this is I mean, on the lines of genetic disease, this is something interesting about diabetes. That if something is genetic, it's diabetes. But the Japanese in Japan, this is the rate of diabetes that they have. So when they move to Washington State, the rates of diabetes increase a lot. And even more than us here. You see? When you go probably strong. So they might have a genetic problem here that was expressed because of the lifestyle and expressed very strongly here. But in Tokyo, that they don't have the environment to express, they have all the Japanese style food that somehow controlled, only no much fat, no much sugar. Whatever, I don't know what is the Japanese food, but maybe you know, huh? Kind of. Okay, let's move that. Then occupational factors, I'm not going to stay there, but this is the substance that may cause different cancer if you work in the factory. So I will go ahead. And so this is a little complicated, but if your kids are eating too much of those junk food, you increase the risk of breast cancer that is related to taller girls and women. Ooh. So it looks like if they are tall, but they are tall because they ate a lot of energy-rich foods during the puberty, and then this will increase the risk of this cancer here. And then overweight babies, of course, are not healthy, at least they will have a high risk of prostate and breast cancer. So today they are checking, there is a department of medicine that is checking the health of the mother before it gets pregnant to foresee what's going to happen with her kid. Can you believe that? And then, so I have a friend from Rio Grande do Sul. He came to a lecture. And from the University, Federal University of Rio Grande do Sul in Brazil, that was specialized on this, how to predict what kind of disease you are going to have before you are born. Can you believe that? Yeah, but it's related to that. So you have to tell your community that before pregnancy, they already set up the things for their kids. So we have to control this and prevent this exercise for the adolescents. So poverty, if you are low socioeconomic status, you have more of this cancer, lung, cervical, and stomach cancer. Not because money will save you, but because of education, hygiene, or because you smoke more, you drink more, you eat more junk food because it's cheap. And if you eat less fruits and vegetables, then you have more infections, less hygiene here. Then this is the reproductive factors. This is the problem with high risk of breast cancer and ovary cancer if you have an early menarche and then a late menopause. So if you have higher exposure, to estrogen, you have a high risk of hormonal-related female cancers. Yeah, it's something that still has other factors involved. It's not just that, but the bombardment of sex in our society make these boys and girls to mature early also. And then so you give them a wrong diet and you bombard them with sex, and then what do you expect? So it's very hard, but no doubts about that. But it's not just meat; it's animal fat, and it's fat. Yeah, it's all cheese and things like that. So that will make the fat for them. And why is that fatting accelerate the menarche? Why is that? Why we have menarche? Well, I mean, why do you have menarche? Not me. I believe it's fat itself, not that much the hormone, but that's my opinion. I don't know. I think it's just the fat, because fat will increase the production of estrogen. But the thing is that my question, and nobody answered my question, but I have a question first, and nobody answered my question. Why is that fat will make a menarche earlier? For? Why we have menarche? To have a baby. We will have a baby when you have enough fat to handle 9 months of pregnancy. So that's the physiology of that. So then you are growing, and then until you build up this, used to be our menarche, let's see, used to be 18 years old, 17 years old in the 1900s. Now it's 12, 13. In the United States, it's 12 years old. Yeah. So now your question. Agree with me? I didn't get that. Late menopause? Yeah. Beyond 55 or... Yeah. I don't know, doctor. Do you think? Late? Yeah. Above 55, she's saying. And the average is 51.3. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, the more soybean, and they don't have the symptoms. Not in the Eastern China. yeah, they will have. So yeah, that's very clear. We will get there. Pollution might also increase the risk of some mostly lung cancer. So if you live in a city, even if you don't smoke, you are under pollution. So we cannot escape that. Radiation can cause this cancer. So that's a concern that we have last time. X-rays have all of these, but mostly is for those that work in radiation centers. Huh?
The killer.
Yeah.
The killer,
yeah.
How many have you seen around here in your time? Too many.
Yeah. Colleagues and... Yeah, still. Some transplant people, that's why they have to balance. When they give a transplant to a patient, they need to know if this patient will benefit from that, because they have to do drugs to reject it, to block the rejection of the organ, and that those drugs are cancer-causing drugs. So dialysis are related also to cancer of the kidneys. And then some procedures, anabolic steroids, tamoxifen that they use for breast cancer can cause endometrial cancer. They used to have this drug, phenacetin, that could cause the... We don't use that anymore. Contraceptives protect the cancer of ovary and uterus, but increase the liver and breast cancer. So you have both sides there, but whatever. Now we have to do something about that. So we finish. I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Before we still have 30 minutes that I will call, we start the other. We'll see if I can finish the other one. But I want to just make a point that when you do lectures for the community, try to incorporate a little bit of a Bible verse. It's always good for the community when they see that and we connect. If we can connect the verse with the message, much better. In this case, I would say, well, don't worry much, because if you have Jesus Christ, I mean, you have the promise of eternal life, and he will help you to develop a good lifestyle, and then he will help you to have even if you are sick, he will be with you. Okay, let me go to. It's gonna. If you have a question, you better ask now, because it's gonna take a couple of minutes, seconds to go to another.
Is that the end of two or the end of three?
End of two. Well, this one was a long lecture. From now on, it's not that long, I hope. Prostate cancer. So let's keep them. This one is good for women. Your cancer risk? I only can tell you for sure that you will never have prostate cancer. There's some consolation. Oh, you are going to disagree with that, man. Excuse me.
What I quickly add to the lady is that your husband comes down with you. So you need to know your husband.
Yeah, that's yeah, okay. And then most of the men will have that. So prostate cancer is a common cause of death in men age 75. It's very rare in men younger than 40. So the diagnosis is still PSA. The digital RET examination is the one that, well, they are challenging the PSA, but I would say this one is the one that We some studies are found that 20% of prostate cancer have normal digital RET examination. So maybe we can skip this one that is more scary, but keep this one at least. But still, the doctors would do both, and they will make a combination on that. Normal should be normal less than 4. And then a value of 5 or more, the person should go to a urologist and then do examination. If the main thing here is to keep a baseline. You have to have a knowledge of your PSA, and then if you have a peak, then you have to check it out. Huh? Lower than normal. Yeah, 1 point. I mean, then the value here is less than 4. It doesn't matter how low. 1.8 is not lower, it's normal. Lower would be point something. Point.
0.4, 0.8.
Yeah. 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 But one, if it's 1, it's already normal level. And then. Yeah, you can, because we have BPH. Yeah, and we have some other cause of prostate cancer. But anyways, I think it's still is a test that we should do, because I have seen many people that if they do the PSA, they would be dead. For African Americans, if they have anybody in their family that had the prostate cancer, they have to do the PSA with 40 years old, and then an increase for 2.5 will indicate that they should refer to the urologist. So this is based on the American Cancer Society guidelines again. So we have the reference here. It's not I am, that's what I'm saying here. The second common cancer in the world is sixth most common cause of cancer death. So it's not that a killer. 60% survive after 5 years, so not bad. In the United States, it's 76. Is a second cause of cancer death in the United States because of the volume that we have. Symptoms, you have some difficulty to urine, but when you have that, it might be too late. So, but anyways, you might not have prostate cancer. You might have benign prostate hypertrophy, that is BPH, that might not be cancer, and then you have to check for that. It's more common in African Americans, and it increases if the mother has had breast cancer in premenopause, and then is related to hormone testosterone, even though it's not related to sexual activity. I still don't know about that very well, but they mention across of the studies that is not. But I'm not sure. Most men will die in this cancer if they reach the age of 100. So it looks like everyone is in the same boat here. We will have sooner or later something like that. But they will die with something else rather than prostate cancer. It's rare over 40. It's more common over 60. And then there are other causes. Contact with the orange agents if you are a military and have been to the war. Drinking too much alcohol, farmers because of a high level of pesticides, and if you have a high fat and animal diet, workers in tire plants, painters, and the ones that are exposed to cadmium. It's a cancer of high income countries. You see, the incidence here is 100 for 100,000. So if you go to China, Asia, it's 10 by 100,000. So it makes a little bit to think about what is happening there. And then I will show you a rate from China that I got from the China study, how it is that Chinese, when they come here, they got too close to this. And then So it is one for 100,000 in China, and in the United States they come by 19 times as much prostate cancer as they have there. The same Chinese living in Chinatown in San Francisco. So this might be related to the lifestyle that they have in this country that they add to their life. So here is a lot of different treatments. I'm not going to stay on that. Then we have the Gleason scores. Just to know if a person has prostate cancer, 2 to 5 score means low-grade prostate cancer. Some might come to your church and ask about that. 6 to 7 is the more common. It means at the intermediate. So it's not that, those two are not that threatful. But the 8 to 10 is a high grade of cancer in my spread, and in my these ones that is more serious.
And the system of them, okay, could they have a enlarged prostate for their PSA to be high?
What?
Because of the prostate enlarged, they could have a high PSA. That don't mean it's a cancer.
I think we already talked about that. But and I will remind you again. You wait until the end. We are going to go back to, because we are going to talk about, we have time to talk about prostate cancer, benign prostate hypertrophy is on the chapter here. We are on our way. We are going to get there. So now, food, meat, poultry, and dairy products were most likely to die from prostate cancer. Men who ate the unrefined plant foods and nuts were least to die of this cancer. So there is something that that we can think. Then you might have a protection with lycopene, but here you see you have a selenium, and eggs are rich in selenium. So we don't like that, but that's what we have there. But other things are also rich in selenium. Legumes, we have here beans are very good for prostate cancer. So let's go to the advanced health study. So first time we talk about that. 179 cases of prostate cancer among Adventists in California in the advanced health study 1. And then what was protective? Dry fruits, consumption of dry fruits like uva, grape raisins. Okay, I'm with Portuguese, Spanish, and sometimes I skip one word. 40% reduction in risk when they eat more raisins here. Tomatoes and beans, probably protective, not that as evident. And then they found this, and they cannot explain this. Why is that in the advanced studies, 50% increased risk when they eat fish? So the results are, we are looking for the answers in the advanced health study too, to see if this will be confirmed. Yeah. It might be. It might be. Yeah. It might be. It might be. But who knows what is that? So they are not making much fuss on that. But in the second advanced health study, because they didn't have much vegans in this to compare, and so they would compare with other different vegetarian, ovo-lacto vegetarian, and meat eaters and fish eaters, and so to have a little more evidence on that. We already talked about this is something interesting: pomegranate and prostate cancer. So they did a study here that the pomegranate juice slowed the progression of prostate cancer after the treatment. So when they gave this pomegranate juice, they would have a PSA control stable four times longer for men who drank the juice. So after a prostate cancer and after they did the treatment, so it looks like there is something on this juice, an antioxidant that will help. And then in rats, they mention, or in laboratory mice, that slow growth of prostate tumors after they are treated with pomegranate juice. So drink more of it. And then we have these two things here. A diet rich in calcium may be related to advanced and more rapid forms of cancer. Prostate cancer, and milk and dairy foods, probably. This is a little more related. This is probably related to prostate cancer, and this is more also related to advanced forms of prostate cancer. Go ahead. I don't know, but I have to check on that, man, because the research is not saying that. The research is not saying that. You might, but what I'm saying, it can be an individual study, but in general, the research does not say that. We have the last Congress of Vegetarian Nutrition in 2008. We have researchers from all around the world. Nobody could point a strong association with milk and prostate cancer. Only with the advanced case. It's not that we have to be careful to not bias things. Right. Because, by the way, Ellen White never mentioned that milk caused cancer. So I'm not defending. But she mentioned that two or three citations. I was checking across the books to see where she mentioned about cancer. We have two or three citations that she mentioned that meat caused cancer. And that's it. And she mentioned about the germs of cancer, and people are criticizing her because what kind of germs were that? And then, was it a virus or was it a bacteria? Was it a whatever? So we don't know about that, according to her. We cannot base everything on Ellen White because there are some things that she didn't know. She was not a physician. But I'm not defending it. We have to be careful to push things beyond what is the truth. For what? For diabetes 1?
No,
and diabetes 2?
Yes.
Type 1 does not relate to milk. Does not? is lack of breastfeeding. If you give soy milk, you have the same. Well, we want to prove that we are right, and that's the main problem. We have to go with what... there are two things here, okay? We have to go with our lifestyle and then follow our lifestyle the best way possible. And then what Ellen White said we have to follow, okay? That's good, and then we go there. But beyond that, if something happens, we cannot force the science to go to our side. Because... like we mentioned that, you know, we are so biased on that. We have to be honest with ourselves. There are some books that we wrote from Adventists that mention that vegetarians have 20% less heart disease when they are vegans. And then well, it's true, but it's true just for women or for men. And then for men and women has, if they are over-lacto vegetarian, they have less heart disease than if they are vegans. But I never mentioned that because we want to go for vegan. We want to push for that. So I believe this discussion, maybe we should stop that discussion because we are not going to go anywhere here, and I have to finish this lecture. I have 20 minutes and then... You are exhausting my late discussion when we get to this issue later on in the first lecture here. Yeah, I believe that. I think we are in the same pace there. Thank you. That's what I need. Thank you very much. Please. Yeah, you know, I don't drink milk. I'm a vegan guy. But I have a hard time to consider myself vegan because I don't like the name. The name is very bad. Create in the church, create a division right there. You are vegan, okay. I'll talk to you later. Or another way, I mean, you. Well, I was raised in a community that if you are vegan, you are more likely go to heaven. Yeah, but I'm just sharing with you what is happening, what was happening in my community, and this is might be around is still in some. Circle. So just be reasonable with that, and we have to figure it out that some places in this world, that's why we cannot generalize that. Some people might still need to eat meat because they don't have anything else. Which milk? Goat milk. Goat milk is rich in antioxidants, and I don't like goat milk. It smells bad and tastes bad, so I don't like it. That's what is not good. Now, there is a research now. It is rich in fat, but is much more rich in protein and has more omega-3 fatty acids because most of the goats they eat good food. So it looks like it's better than cow's milk. If you can tolerate that, it's better. But the new blue zone that they found now is in Ikaria, in Greece. I'm not sure if you have heard about Ikaria, in Greece. They have an island, and people live longer in that island. Guess what? They eat goat milk and goat cheese. That's what they eat. So it might be another way. You have two goats? Well, I believe nobody knows much about that. And if we want a more answer about that, we have to wait a little bit more, maybe 5 or 7 years more, until we have the result of the second Adventist Health Study. Then we will have more answers to those questions, because vegans is messed up. in Europe. I saw the guy making the vegan thing, comparing vegans in Europe, but the vegans are not healthy there. I mean, they eat a lot of trash and they are not eating vegetable. And then, trash food, junk food, okay? You are eating a lot of ice cream or soybean things, but a lot of sugar, that's what I mean. Yeah, so the European type of vegan is just don't eat meat and don't eat dairy, but they eat a lot of junk, that's what I mean, okay? Sorry about my words. Well, your father and your son. Yeah, when he got there, he should be concerned, and you should be concerned. And have a good lifestyle and a good diet, and that's. But genetics is affected by lifestyle. That's what I'm talking here. It might have a function because there is a crossover between breast cancer and prostate cancer across. He might have a higher risk. He might, but that's what I believe, and I don't know if someone disagree with that. Yeah, it might be. It might be because the extreme is something that we have to avoid. And I have many patients, vegan patients, with back pain and lack of vitamin B12. So I have those pastors in my and pastors, not just pastors, but we have to say, where is your B12 coming from? Nowhere. So you have to have that. Okay, I don't know why we stuck on that, but it's just because. Prostate cancer, I mean, that's the last research that I have. So we have to confirm with this guy if he has something that are really making more prostate cancer with milk. Because the research is not saying that much. Both here and then even Harvard is not saying that. But we'll go there. So the mechanism for that is that milk will increase the insulin growth factor 1. And then this will... increased prostate cancer risk in some studies. And then lack of calcium will drop vitamin D, and then rats with treated with vitamin D had smaller prostate tumor and less metastasis. So definitely we know that vitamin D might protect against prostate cancer. Now, the processed meats that you mentioned before, they contain nitrates, and nitrates produce N-nitroso components that will produce mutations, and they are considered carcinogens. Processed meats have a lot of those things, and they are not good for us because they have the same substance that cigarette smoking has, the PAH, or benzopyrene. Dr. Ornish was one Adventist doctor. He should be Adventist because he does some research that benefits us. But he was the one that could revert heart disease with changing lifestyle and then developing a vegetarian diet and low fat, low fiber. So he did a study with prostate cancer patients, 87 men. They separated in two groups, one group with lifestyle and one group not doing much. In the lifestyle, they did a vegan diet, lots of fruits and vegetables, low fat diet, less than 10%. Exercise 3 hours per week and meditation and things like that. So the results showed that after 3 months, there is a drop in 5% of the PSA in the lifestyle group, and in the control group was 1% increase of the PSA. After 1 year, the PSA decreased 33% in the lifestyle and increased 7% in the control. So it looks like there is a benefit here for prostate cancer if you go on that kind of diet. Inhibition of the growth prostate cancer cell, this is a factor that they can measure the growth of the prostate cancer cell. It was decreased 67% in the lifestyle and decreased only 12% in the control. So there is some evidence that really vegan is the best way for prostate, no doubts about that. I will not talk about this guy. Prevention, why not? Because I don't have the time. I want to finish this today. Okay, I want to talk about BPH a little bit. Benign prostate hyperplasia. So this is the enlargement of prostate gland that is common to older men and is non-cancerous. So this will have the same symptoms that you have when you have prostate cancer. So this is the symptoms here. And then this is the mechanism here. When you have the enlarged prostate, you block the passage of urine here. And that's why you have a difficulty to urinate. You urinate more at night, and you have urgency and leaking and dribbling, and then hesitant and interrupted weak stream. So some signs of blood BPH are similar to prostate cancer, and so, but there is no relationship. At least that's why they are saying now. But a man with BPH can have prostate cancer. So just because you have BPH does not mean that you are not going to have prostate. It's not gonna turn on cross and prostate, but you are a man. It's still a man, I believe. And then you might have to have that. The National Cancer Institute and the American Cancer Society have recommended that all men over 40 have a digital rectal examination to screen for prostate cancer anyways. These are very painful treatments that they do for these. The laser surgery looks like it's the best one nowadays that will not harm too much. They have some medication that help to treat this. I don't know. This medication might be. And so this is the one that will increase your PSA. So if you have this thing, your prostate cells can create a PSA that it can go over 5. It's not common to go that high, but it can go a little bit. The saw palmetto is a herbal that they say that will improve the symptoms of benign prostate hypertrophy. But this was not being consistently in many studies. And then it might not be different than the placebo. But what we know here is that there is no negative effects. So if you think, if the person used that and relieve the symptoms, why not? We don't have any harm brought by this herbal, so I would go for it. So this is the plant that we are talking about, saw palmetto. It's a kind of a palm tree. There are other herbals that are being tried on that. This beta-cytosterol from African star grass, and the pigeon from the bark of all of them African. But you might find this in some herbal stores. And this, I finished before I thought. So now we go back to this thing. If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His commands and keep all His decrees, I will not bring to you any of the diseases that I brought unto the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. So we have a pathway for us, and we follow that. We will be in the right track. If we don't, questions now. We have a couple of minutes. You can ask whatever. I finished my job for today. It's a complicated issue, my goodness. The problem is that, is the best treatment for prostate because we will not kill the surrounding cells. The problem with that is that once you make a diagnosis in the prostate and you find that the cancer in one cell, you might have cancer in the other, in one side of the prostate. You might have cancer in the other side. So if you do a proton therapy just for this side, you might get in trouble when the cancer develops in the other side. Because then you cannot do proton, you cannot do surgery, you cannot do cryo, you cannot do anything. You have to go for home. One is, I have two patients that have this corollary of things because they just irradiate the one side. So I would say it's hard to, because the biopsy is doing by needles, and they punch a lot of needles there, and then they get the samples. So if they do the needles and they found in one side, probably they will have another side. But I don't know if they will irradiate both sides for that. I believe they will just keep the one side. So that's the problem. It is the best treatment because in terms of follow-up, will not affect your performance, sexual performance, or urinary incontinence. So for that, wonderful. But it has this side effect that you have to consider. So I suppose not to say that, but I have to be honest. Because I am from Loma Linda, I should promote the proton therapy, but I have to be honest with that. No, there is no side effect. No side effect. It's, compared to radiation, there is no side effect on that. A little bit of retaining water, a little bit, but most of the patients feel very good. We deal with them all the time because he concentrates. The radiation is very localized. It can go to only prostate cells and kill the ones that have cancer very easy. Okay, guys, any other question? Any other disagreement?
This media was produced by Audioverse for the NAD Health Summit. If you would like to learn more about the NAD Health Summit, please visit www.nadhealthsummit.com. Or if you would like to listen to more free online sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.